This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, when Allah Almighty created time, He decided that time will move in years, and each year will have 12 months. And every month will have 29 or 30 days. This is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The year will have 12 months. From among those months, there will be 4 months that will be considered sacred. Allah Almighty mentions this in the Quran.
Inna iddat ash-shuhuri indallahi 12 shahra.
Indeed, the number of months with Allah is 12 months.
في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض.
The day that Allah created the skies and the earth, He decided this. So it's the decision of Allah. It's amazing. It's something unique.
منها أربعة حرم.
From those 12, there are 4 that are haram. Haram means sacred. Haram also means prohibited. Why prohibited? Every time you hear the term haram or haram, there's something behind the term that would be connected to something prohibited because of that term being used. Like you have the haram in Makkah and Medina, it's because certain things are haram that are prohibited there, different from if you're not there. For example, hunting and so on in the condition of ihram. We call it ihram, right? When you put on the 2 pieces of cloth and you're going for the minor or major pilgrimage, the Umrah or the Hajj. So in this instance, it is prohibited in these 4 months to commence warfare, to start up a fight, prohibited. A legitimate war between 2 nations or 2 warring factions based on something that perhaps has resulted in it would actually be prohibited in these months. But what if someone slaps you? Now what? What if someone starts a war? What if a murderer murders? Or what if someone has run away and then you catch them during this time? In that particular instance, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, it's okay to retaliate, it's okay to go and apprehend someone during these particular months. So what are these months? It's quite an interesting question. What are these months? So 3 of them are in order, consecutive, and 1 is separate. The separate one is the month of Rajab. The month of Rajab is a separate month. It's one of the 4 haram months, sacred months. The Arabs never used to start war at the time, even though perhaps, like for example, the people used to take away the land and property of others. But if it came to the months of that are declared haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would step back, step aside. We're not touching anyone. Why? These are haram months. It's like known, sacred. You can't touch anyone. So Rajab is one of the months. The other 3 are simple: Dhul-Qi'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram. They're all in a row. So 3 of them are from the months of Hajj. And the one is separate. So my brothers and sisters, imagine in Islamic history, we have had instances where people have actually ignored this. People have ignored this and began to fight. Not just ordinary fights, but among each other. May Allah Almighty grant us protection. I always say, history is recorded in order for us to learn lesson and take heed. Otherwise, there was no point for it. The Quran is filled with stories of the past, not for entertainment purposes, but rather to learn a lesson. Look at what happened. Take a look at this. It was not a good thing. But at the same time, later on, peace was made, and we learned a lesson. One of the lessons I learn is, in this ummah, there is a lot of hatred amongst ourselves. Smaller groups, larger groups, and different groups. So much of hatred that we don't talk to each other as brothers and sisters sometimes. Solve the problem. Solve the matter. What did you learn from Islamic history? What did you learn from the issue of wars that took place because of two people? They fought over something. I was in India 2 days back. And one of the scholars was telling me about how a war took place between nations as a result of a pit that died. And I couldn't believe it. I said, I've never read this. He said, it's a fact of life. So the two started fighting, and they started hitting each other, killing each other, whatever it may be. Their families, their clans, their generations, to this day, they don't even want to look at each other. But you are brothers. It started off with something small. The biggest favor you can ever do yourself is when you have a problem, work hard to resolve it today, which means urgently, as soon as possible. Your own spouse, you don't go to bed without solving a problem. You can. Have a big heart. I'm not saying give up justice, but I'm saying talk about it. Be reasonable. Be compassionate. Learn to forgive. Learn to embrace. People make mistakes. If they said I'm sorry and seek forgiveness, learn to let it go. It's better for you, better for your family, better for generations to come. So we are in the year 1445 already. Already. In my age, I recall back in the day, my earliest memories are with 1400. 1400. We're already 45 years down. 1400. I see some of our elders seated here. They must be smiling at me saying, we know 1360, 1370. We still remember those Hijri dates. To be honest, we are in 1445. Do you know how quickly time is ticking? It's a sign of the hour. But in these years, every time a new year comes in, we're excited. MashaAllah, new year. This is a new year. The new lunar year. Do you know that in the eyes of Allah, it is a lunar calendar? The moon, one of its purposes of creation is that it has a full term. The moon is born, and then what happens? You see the crescent, it grows, mashallah. End of the month, you find there is a new moon being born. Beginning of the month, you sight that moon. That's how we work. 12 months and you come back. Some of the months are 29 days, some of them are 30 days. So, every time we have a year that comes in, we are growing older. The argument is, what do we do? Do we celebrate? Do we celebrate that we're getting older? Or should we become sad? The reality is, what is of greater importance than the discussion of celebration or becoming sad is, change your life. You're getting closer to Allah. You're getting closer to the day you're going to meet with Allah. Do something about that day. Prepare, even in a small way. That's important. As we grow older, suddenly you have a bone that's aching somewhere. You know, mashallah, the knees. Happens to all of us. As you grow older, you start seeing a little bit blurry compared to what it was earlier. It's normal. It happened. You clock 40, you start going downhill. Because on average, if you're going to live 70, 80, 60, 70, 80, somewhere there. And nowadays, people die at any time. And like I say, it's not like we're dooming people, but it is just a reality you need to prepare for. Prepare for it. Allah's looking for anything to forgive you and to grant you and I Jannah. We are in His house today. It's such a big blessing. So every time we're getting closer to Allah, surely it should make us look forward to improving ourselves for the sake of Allah. Yes, when you're young and you're energetic, perhaps you might have forgotten Allah at times. And you might have done things that I hope you're embarrassed about if they were wrong within yourself. When I say embarrassed about within yourself, all of us, myself included, there are certain things I've done in my life I'm embarrassed about. It's history. Nothing majorly, you know, humongous or anything, but something we shouldn't have done. I mean, I didn't commit murder by any way. But what I mean is, as you grow older, you start realizing, what was that all about? I didn't have to do all of that. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah says, well, the fact that you haven't died, you're still okay. The fact that you are still healthy and you're seeking forgiveness, you're forgiven. Have hope in the mercy of Allah. It's okay, we did things we're not too proud of. The new year has started. We make these resolutions. And it's not like that I waited for the new year in order to make resolutions. But all I'm doing is I'm renewing it to say, listen, 1445 has clocked in. No way, I better start changing my things, ways and habits. And inshallah, I'm going to be a better person. We're going to have a better year. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get up early. Wallahi, the barakah that Allah has kept in getting up early is something only those who get up early can taste. You get up early in the morning. And subhanallah, you're at work. Before you know it, mashallah, you've done whatever you had to, and it's still time of the day. Because Allah has kept barakah in bukur. Bukur meaning being early. The early bird is the one that gets older. Yes. Now, there are a few pointers we need to speak about. Number one is the new year has commenced. We're 9 days in, almost 10 days in. The 10th of Muharram, we're supposed to be fasting, if possible, with a day before it or with a day after it. And a quick look into that particular reasoning. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived in Medina Munawwara, he instructed the Muslimin and he said, Musa alayhi salam was actually saved from Fir'aun on the 10th of Muharram. And therefore, in order to celebrate the savior of the Muslim Ummah, and when we say Muslim, we're talking of the submitters. One might argue that Musa alayhi salam, was he a Muslim? We believe that they were all submitters, and the term submission is Islam, Muslim. They submitted unto Allah. It's like the issue of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah words it in such a beautiful way in the Quran, where the debate of whether Ibrahim was Jewish or Christian is actually quelled in the Quran. Because Allah asks a simple question.
Ya ahla al-kitab lima tuhajjuna fi Ibrahim wa ma unzilati at-tawrat wal-injil illa min ba'dih afala ta'qilun.
O people of the book, O Jews and O Christians, why are you arguing about Abraham? Meaning, either being a Jew or a Christian, when the Torah and the Bible were only revealed after him. Haven't you thought about that? That's what the Quran says. So Ibrahim alayhi salam came before the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him. That means he wasn't a Jew. And he came before the Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him. That means he wasn't a Christian. What was he? He was a submitter. How do you say submitter, Muslim? I'm a submitter. Aslamtu wajhiya lillahi rabbil alameen. I submit my face to the Lord of the worlds, Allah. So that's one thing. So when the Jews were saved from the Pharaoh, it is a celebration for all believers. But more than that, it is actually hope to those who are struggling at the hands of a tyrant on a smaller level, perhaps in your little circles or slightly broader, to say that the day of victory will come, and it has to come. Subhanallah. We who are suffering at the hands of someone else, or someone suffering at our hands. We must talk about both sides of the coin. Because it's easy to say, if you're suffering, victory is coming in your direction. Don't worry. Have you not seen the story of Musa alayhi salam, the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh? It was almost impossible for them who were harmed by him to think that a day will come when this guy is going to be dealt with. It was almost impossible because he went on and on and on for a long, long time. But the thing is, it's easy for us to say victory is coming, but what if you are the little Pharaoh? Yes, some people get into their homes and wallahi, their family members are praying for their death. It's happened and it's happening a lot. But why? Because you're a little Pharaoh in the home. That's a fact. You come in and you want, you're a tyrant, man. May Allah safeguard us. That shouldn't happen. We need to have pleasant homes. If we have issues and so on, we need to deal with them. The other day I had someone, one of their children did something wrong. And he kicked this child out of the house. And then they came to me and asked me, one of the family members came and said, please can you help? Because you know your uncle here, he's so hard and harsh and I don't know if he will listen to anyone. So I found out what happened. And they told me it was quite a serious thing. And I said, look, kicking them out of the house, it may result in this problem never being resolved. In fact, the child may become worse than what the child is right now. So you got to think. Allah has placed on your shoulders the responsibility of the child. We prayed for our children to have kids. Ask those who don't have children how many du'as they make and what they go through to have those children. Then you have the children and this is what you get. That's the question. But in reality, we prayed for the children. When we get them, it's going to be a big responsibility. Check this young boy nodding his head. Yeah, tell them, tell them. Mashallah, it's good. Mashallah. May Allah bless you. Bless all of us. Ameen. So the fact is that we have to sacrifice. You have to spend time with your children. The last three talks I've delivered, I spoke about this point. Because in today's world, our children are being taken away from us by virtue of them getting their brains filled before anyone else has come to those brains with something that is not even a fact. It's not even true. It's absurd. Sometimes it is such a lie. And that's what they believe because it was the first person who told them. I give an example and I say, you see these fingers, how many are they? If I told you 1 plus 1 is 2 and I did this, you'll tell me, what are you talking about? If I said 2, or if I showed you an apple and told you this is a banana, and I was the first guy who told it to you, you're going to go to the store and say, can I please have a banana? And when they give you an apple, say, are you crazy? They say, are you crazy? No, you crazy. No, no, you are crazy. And then there's a fight. Wallahi, it's happening today with our children in things that are serious. They are told something that is a fabrication and a lie by people who think that by virtue of them having gone to university, they are intelligent without realizing what did they tell you at the university. If they told you something that was correct, it's right. If they told you something absurd and told you that a banana was an apple, it doesn't mean that just because you heard it from a prof, it's actually the truth, or just because someone wrote a book and wrote it in there, that it's the truth. If a banana is a banana, it shall remain a banana and it will remain that until Qiyamah, inshallah. Allah grant us ease. We're struggling in an age where, I promise you, at an old age, 20 years old, 18 years old, and you're being told that, you know what? A banana's an apple. And you're going out and saying it's an apple. And you're arguing with the whole world, it's an apple. When I was little, we were told, and it's true, that in Jannah, when you go to paradise, something amazing will happen. As you're thinking of something, you'll have it. It will be yours. And as so now I'm a little kid thinking of, you know, different types of fruit, oranges and whatever else. And they say it's going to be the best and the sweetest ever. And as you're thinking of it, you'll be able to taste it in your mouth. Have you heard that? It's true. Jannah, paradise. And as you're thinking about it in your mouth and you're thinking of another one, suddenly the taste changes. Subhanallah. And now you're having that one, the other one you're thinking about. And as you're having that, and then the taste changes again because you're now thinking of a third thing. Trust me, that is in paradise, not on earth. You can't be having a banana and say, that's an apple, it's tasting nice. Say, but it's not. You say, well, close your eyes and imagine it is. No ways, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So we're living in an age where these issues are becoming serious. I want to raise one more quick point because it's very interesting. I was in Ghana last week. And someone asked me a question that if you were able to give the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some technology that he didn't have, that you now have, what would it be? And I said, I would never give him anything because Allah knows, and Allah gave him more than everything. And Allah knows why he kept him in an era where there was no Twitter, no Facebook, no social media, no internet, no phones, no electricity. Allah knows that was the best time ever. Because with that today, I was not there, but I'm totally convinced, and so are you, of all the aspects of my faith and religion and my beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aren't we? We are. Whereas nowadays, I have seen videos of myself saying things, proper video, that I've never said, in a voice that sounds almost identical like mine, as mine. And I didn't say it. And I listened to it and said, oh wow, when did I say this? It can't. No, then you realize this is all fake. In fact, immediately. Imagine if there was a messenger in this age, what would have happened? People would probably have belied the whole message. Say, anyway, that's just AI generated. What are you talking about? You know, imagine when they said prohibition of alcohol. I always think to myself, and it's hair raising to think that a caller called. In fact, there's two examples come to mind. One is prohibition of alcohol and the other one is the changing of the Qibla. A caller called just to say, hey guys, from today, all these alcohols are haram. And they immediately spat it out or whatever else. They threw it away and everything happened totally. And the Qibla one, in a place now known as Qiblatain, Salatul Asr was going on. And there was a companion leading the Salah. And the caller called, hey, the Qibla has changed to the other direction. In Salah, they started moving. They started moving because you know what? That was an age where the authentication happened because of upright human beings. This age, you can see something and you'll still say, no, that's AI generated. Imagine if someone has to tell you now, Qibla changed. Say, hey, that guy's cuckoo, take him to the hospital. Obviously, well, now the revelation is over, so you might argue it's over. But can you imagine if you were in that crowd and they told you something has changed? What would happen? It would be so difficult when you hear, today when we hear something maybe we might be doing wrong in our lives and someone comes and corrects you. It takes you such a long time. No, this guy can't be right. And then when you find out that, yeah, he is right, you still want to justify why is it that I'm still okay. So that's why we say we strengthen our faith and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So giving technology to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him greater successes than those with every technology that's going to come up to Qiyamah. Today, the person who has the largest following on social media is probably 100 million, maybe less than 200 million, definitely. How many followers does Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have without all of that? Isn't it 2 billion plus? Allahu Akbar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 2 billion plus. Where is it? Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. That's why we say we are living in an age where they are trying to take away from us what we have in its original form. Now we're in 1445. Like I said, we speak about the celebration. The celebration because of being saved from something tyrannical and someone who was a disaster. But in Islamic history, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhuma, was also martyred on the similar day, the 10th of Muharram, by none other than people who read the Shahada. And in the next few days we will be hearing more about it. And like I say, it is a disgrace to the ummah. It is something that is very, very hurtful. Just to read through it and to hear about it is painful. One wonders why it happened. Indeed, shaitan has a role to play. And indeed, people lost the plot at the time. How could you do this? Who was the man? What is his level? And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, I ask you nothing more than the love of the people of my household. And we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that the household is made up of the entire household of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But this was a member, and he was a senior member of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's household. And that's why I say, as much as we will hear more about it, the lesson is far more important. Today we fight our own brothers. Be careful, a generation will come when they may go to war and kill each other. Because your children won't talk to those children over a cup of tea that you are not invited for. Big deal. Big deal. Cup of tea. You had a wedding, you didn't invite me. So what? It doesn't warrant that you cut relations because you weren't invited to a wedding. What's the big deal about a wedding? You might say, hey, Sheikh, you don't know, it's a big deal. It's not that a big deal. It's not that big a deal that you need to stop to. So what? Sometimes we're fighting for numbers, you know. We're fighting for numbers. You have to sometimes compromise. So my brothers and sisters, this is what I say. Don't let little items make you fight one another. Shaitan is going to come and make sure that it seeps through your generations. Your children won't talk to each other. And when their children come, they won't know why that's the case. But they just know these people are very bad. You better watch out. You know that auntie there? My uncle married a woman. Ooh, you better watch out. She came in, spoiled everything. By default, that's what they say. Just because she's an outsider. It happens in nearly all homes. Am I right? They blame the wife who came in and say, that one, you must watch out. And little kids, third generation kids, they say, you know, my granny, you must just be careful. Where did you hear this from? We're in Muharram. Can't you learn a lesson from Muharram to say, don't do that? It's okay, you had two or three differences. But this is what's going on. Learn to love one another. Allah Almighty will open our doors. I pray that we have a blessed 1445. And inshallah, I pray that Allah grant us lesson. And I ask Allah Almighty really to bond the hearts. We are lacking the love in the ummah today. Because what shaitan has done is that he makes us look for differences we have and concentrate on that and magnify it. Whereas those are few. But the thousands of common factors that we have, we are ignoring them. We ask Allah Almighty to help us understand the plot of shaitan. And to constantly come back and reflect. Look into yourself. Engage in dhikr. Ask Allah to help you improve and polish yourself. And in this way, truly, we will be able to earn Jannatul Firdaus, where we can go and have those bananas that will be like apples and those apples that will be like bananas and so on. All that in Jannatul Firdaus. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.